Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Parshas Korach, we read from Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis, chapter 11, verse 14, to chapter 12, verse 22. This week's HaVtorah has a very interesting link to our Parsha. Namely, Shmuel HaNavi is a descendant of Korach. But of course, when we go beneath the surface, there is much more. Let's begin with Korach himself, such a difficult person to understand. He seemed to have it all. He was prestigious. He was smart. He was exceptionally wealthy. And yet, he wanted more. And his drive for power and status literally destroyed his life. Ironically, Rashi tells us that what turned him off course was actually his descendant Shmuel HaNavi. The Korach shepikeach haya mara al ishtoseh, eino hitatu. Ra'a shalsheles gedola yotzah mimenu Shmuel sheshakul kineged Moshe va'aron, amar bishvilo ani nimlat. The Chaf Dalet Mishmaros Omdos Livnei Vanav Kulam Misnab'im Beruach HaKodesh Sheneemar Kol Eila Banim Leheiman in Divrei Hayamim Amar Efshar Kol HaGdula Hazos Asida La'amod Mimeni Va'ani Edom. Korach, who was certainly clever, what reason had he to commit this folly? His mind's eye misled him. He saw by prophetic vision a line of great men descending from him, amongst them the prophet Shmuel, who was compared to Moshe and Aaron. And Korach said to himself, on his account, I will escape punishment. And he further saw 24 Mishmaros, shifts of Leviim who served in the Beis HaMikdash, arising among his grandchildren, all of them prophesying by the Holy Spirit, as it says, all these prominent musicians were the sons of Haman, who came from Korach. He said, is it possible that all this greatness is to arise from me, and I should remain silent? He saw greatness in his future descendants, most notably Shmuel, and it threw him. If someone so great comes from me, he reasoned, surely I deserve greatness now. Of course, it didn't have to happen that way. That knowledge could have humbled him. It could have anchored him. If Hashem has greatness in store for my children, he could have said, then I don't need to chase it myself. I'll work on making myself worthy. But instead he rebelled. And it was that very rebellion that made him unworthy. Korach tried to grab leadership and lost it all. Korach becomes the poster child of the wrong approach to leadership. Of course, leadership is not a privilege as much as a responsibility. As the Gemara Harayos Daf Yud says, Shrara ani nosin lachem, avdos ani nosin lachem. You think I'm giving you power? I'm giving you slavery. Leadership is not about status and power. But that is the way that Korach sees it. He sees power and status, and this fatal flaw becomes his undoing. Now contrast that with Shmuel. Shmuel, who alone is compared to Moshe and Aaron in terms of selfless leadership. Shmuel, who gives his whole self for the love and success of the Jewish people. In our Haftorah, Shmuel stands before the people at a turning point of history. He has just appointed Shaul HaMelech as king, but he's clearly not celebrating. The people asked for a king kechol hagoyim, like all the nations. And Shmuel saw in that request a tragic rejection, both of his own leadership and of Hashem's direct kingship. A real failure of understanding the relationship between them and Hashem, actually a rupture. And in our Haftorah, Shmuel HaNavi will address both of these ideas. There is something interesting about our Haftorah. The chapters that come before it describe the stages of Shaul becoming king. First, the request of Bnei Yisrael for a king, Shmuel's expressed displeasure and warning to them that their request will not lead to anything good, and then Shaul's fateful meeting with Shmuel. Shmuel anoints Shaul, and Shaul actually begins to act as king. He successfully leads a battle, saving the residents of Yavesh Gilead. And that is where our Haftorah begins. Shmuel gathers the nation, Pasuk Yud Dalet, verse 14. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, lechu v'nelcha ha'gilgal u'nechadesh sham ha'melucha. Shmuel says to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and there inaugurate the melucha, the monarchy. Verse 15, vayelchu kol ha'am ha'gilgal, vayamlichu sham es Shaul lefnei Hashem ba'gilgal, vayizbuchu sham zvachim shlamim lefnei Hashem, vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad ma'od. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there at Gilgal they declared Shaul king before God. They offered sacrifices of well-being there before God, and Shaul and everyone held a great celebration there and rejoiced. The question is, why was this necessary? Shaul had already been anointed, introduced, crowned. He had even begun to act as king. The Abarbanel tells us that now Shmuel Hanavi wants to do it all over again in Gilgal, and we'll note the repetition a few times in our pasuk of Lifnei Hashem. Why? Because Gilgal is extremely significant. It was our very first stop that we arrived to in Eretz Yisrael, and it was the place where Am Yisrael first renewed their covenant upon entering the land. And so, right here in Gilgal, Shmuel leads them in renewing the monarchy, but on new terms. This king, Shmuel says, should not be like those of the nations. His job is not to dominate. It is to guide, not to take, but to elevate. His role, like that of all true Jewish leadership, is to bring the people closer to Hashem. Shmuel is trying so hard to help us approach the kingship with the right perspective. And Shmuel, in this moment, delivers a tremendously moving speech in which he reviews Jewish history. The message is, we have never needed a king in order to be saved. We left Mitzrayim through Hashem's hand. We conquered the land with divine aid. The secret of our strength has always been our relationship with Hashem and leaders who were faithful to that mission. And then he talks about himself as a leader. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Sound familiar? That's exactly what Moshe said in his defense against Korach's claims. Lo chamor achad mehem nasasi. I did not carry away one of their donkeys. No, neither Moshe nor Shmuel has ever used their position for personal gain because they weren't in it for power. And precisely because of that, they were worthy of it. But more than that, Shmuel is showing them what it truly means to be a leader of the Jewish people. It's not about me and my gain. The mandate is to reflect the light of Hashem, to bring the nation closer to Hashem. And then, in another moment reminiscent of our parsha, Hashem sends a miracle. Shmuel calls out to Hashem, and thunder and rain fall in the middle of the wheat harvest. A moment of supernatural validation, just like the earth swallowing Korach. Throughout Tanakh, rain is the quintessential symbol of blessing, the sign of God's favor, life-giving drops that turn parched earth into fields of plenty. Yet, in our Haftorah, the very same rain becomes a sign of judgment. At the height of the wheat harvest, when rain could ruin the crop, Hashem sends thunder and showers, and the people tremble in fear. Something usually meant to signal abundance instead becomes a harsh rebuke. In the same way, a king can be a blessing to Israel. Devarim envisions a monarch who will write for himself a copy of this Torah, and he shall read it all the days of his life, guiding the nation in the ways of Hashem. Yet, when you are demanding a king like all the nations, seeking status, power, and visible glory, this blessing can turn into a burden. And now B'nai Yisrael finally do get the message. They recognize, we really did sin against Hashem. Vayira kol ha'amaod es Hashem ve'es Shmuel. The entire nation feared God so much, and Shmuel. And Vayomu kol ha'amal Shmuel, hispalel ba'arava dechel Hashem alokecha, ve'al namus kios yasafnu al kol chatosenu ra'a lish'ol lanu melech. The people all said to Shmuel, daven for your servants to Hashem, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the wickedness of asking for a king. They got it. Asking for a king for the wrong reasons was a terrible mistake, and they are suddenly filled with deep regret. Let's pay attention to Shmuel Hanavi's response to them. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, al tira'u, atem asisem es kol hara'a hazos. Shmuel said to the people, do not fear. You have indeed done all those wicked things. Ach, al tasuru me'acharei Hashem, va'avaretem es Hashem b'chol levavchem. Do not, however, turn away from Hashem, but serve Hashem with all your heart. V'lo tasuru, kein acharei hatohu asher lo yo'ilu v'lo yotzilu. Do not turn away to follow worthless things which can neither profit nor save but are worthless. Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo ba'avor shmo hagadol. Ki ho'il Hashem lasos eschem lo la'am. Because Hashem will not abandon his nation for the sake of his great name. For Hashem desires to make you for him a nation. So you've done a terrible thing. But don't turn away from Hashem. What is the message? What is Shmuel HaNavi teaching them with this word, ach, but? Rav Mendel Hirsch, the son of the great Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, writes in his Sefer on Haftorah. He says, the word ach teaches us something. Yes, you made a mistake, but don't keep going down. Don't let inertia carry you deeper. Stop. Turn. Begin again. That one word, ach, is so powerful. It means but or however. It's a pivot. It's Shmuel saying, you messed up, but you don't have to keep messing up. And it's especially meaningful that it is Shmuel HaNavi who says this. Because as the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas says, B'nei Korach lo mesu, the sons of Korach did not die. Why? Because at the very last second, they did teshuvah. As they were being swallowed by the earth, the Medrash tells us they cried out, Moshe is true and his Torah is true. They stopped the fall. They turned, even when it seemed too late. Shmuel is living proof that it is never too late to come back. So yes, there is irony in the fact that Korach's own descendant gives this speech. But there's also a tikkun, a repair. Korach fell, and Shmuel brings us up. We all veer off course sometimes. Sometimes it starts small. A desire for status. A need for control. A decision that's made from fear or pride. But Shmuel teaches us that the mistake doesn't have to define us. That one word, ach, gives us a spiritual turnaround, a chance to say, yes, I've gone down the wrong road, but I don't need to stay on it. And that might be the deepest connection between our Parsha and Haftorah, not just the contrast between Korach and Shmuel, but the idea that even the most tragic beginning can lead to greatness if we choose to turn around. May we learn from Korach's downfall, and even more so from his children's teshuvah and from Shmuel's legacy, that true leadership and true greatness begins with humility, with service, and with the courage to change direction. Thank you for learning together.